Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
If you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to go ahead and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, if you haven't already. We have covered a lot of ground, really over a year and a half, as we've walked through these six chapters in this epistle. And I like the way one commentary put it as he was reviewing the entire letter to the Ephesians. And this is especially for those that perhaps are guests or haven't walked with us through our study of Ephesians, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, with a few breaks in between. He put it this way. Paul has taken us, who was the one who wrote to the church at Ephesus, from the heavenly places in chapter 1 to the earth's spiritual battleground in chapter 6 as we have looked at the armor of God. In between, we've seen the following. And this is the way he reviewed the in-between. How God lavished his love and grace on us in redemption, took the alienated and made them cherished members of his own family, turned our divisions into his healing unity, rescued us from the pit of deception and placed us on the pinnacle of truth, and led us out of darkness to walk in his radiant light. Now, if someone gave me an assignment to go over a verse or two in each chapter of Ephesians, it might look like this as a review. In chapter 1, I would tend to go toward verse 7. In him, meaning Jesus, we have the redemption and the forgiveness of God in accordance with the riches of God's grace. In him, meaning Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. And then if I went on to chapter 2, I might land on verses 8 and 9. Many of you are familiar with this. It is for by grace that you are saved through faith. And this not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Some of you will receive gifts from someone this year, and more likely you'll say, "When I really don't deserve this. Let me give you something in return." And they may say to you, "No, it's a gift. I just wanted to do this to express my love for you and appreciation for your friendship." Well, God has given us the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. It's nothing we can earn or that we deserve. It's by his grace, but we have to be willing to accept it. And then if I went on to chapter 3, I'd go to verse 20. And it reads like this: "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or can imagine, to him be glory in all creation." Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. I'm reading a book right now by Mark Batterson, his newest work called A Million Little Miracles. And basically, Mark explains that there are miracles that go on in our world every day. If you look at the way the world turns, that is in itself a miracle. If you think about the way the human body is put together and the way the heart beats, that in itself is a miracle. And so there are little miracles that happen every day. I've only read chapter 1, so I can't wait to see all the miracles, the little miracles that you experience and that I experience every day that we may just not think about or take for granted. And I know ultimately he's leading us to think about the fact that the Christian life is exciting. And there are things that he wants you to do and that I can do. And we don't need to get in such a rut or a routine that we forget we're here for a purpose. Let's do something great for God that no one else possibly can do because he's put it on your heart or he put it on mine. I really like that verse, Ephesians 3:20. He's able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. We just have to believe and have faith. And then we could go on to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And it reads like this: do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful in building others up, that it may benefit those who listen. So all of us are tempted to have things come out of our mouth that we shouldn't say. And sometimes we say, oh, I wish I could get that back. And so Ephesians 4:29, as well as other places in the Bible and the Proverbs for sure, tells us in James that we should be careful about what we say. And that the Bible says so much about encouraging one another until we see the day approaching, until Jesus returns. So there's a lot we could say about that. And then we might go to chapter 5. And some of you guys may say, well, I know where you're going to land, preacher. You're going to land on verse 22, which says, wives, submit to your husbands. Well, as we studied that some time ago, we also saw what biblically that means. And it means a lot more than what we think as far as the world says what it means. And then we also were reminded in that about how to raise our children. We were reminded about how husbands are to love their wives. And so there's just a lot in there about relationships and family matters and working for our employees. But I would land on chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, which says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. He has a will individually for our lives and corporately as a church family, and we don't need to let the days just slip by like they can do if we're not alert and we fulfill His purpose and we know what His will is. And then we've been in chapter 6. Chapter 6, most of us lean towards the armor of God, as we should. As a believer, we're to take on and understand what the armor of God is and the importance of prayer we looked at last week. And so today, I want us to consider how to finish strong by reading the last several verses, verses 21 through 24 of Ephesians chapter 6, as we land the plane on this sermon series we've been in for quite some time. Now, here's what I want to do. Because it has been Thanksgiving, and because it might be feeling a little sluggish, I'm not going to lead us in exercises, but I am going to ask you to stand as I read God's Word this morning. Here's what it says. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. So right there we see Paul saying, man, this brother Tychicus, he's my brother. He is faithful. And he's going to tell you all that God is doing in my life and the life of other believers. And he's going to encourage you. He's my brother. Then he says, I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters, meaning the brothers and sisters in Christ. Love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. You may be seated. How can we take the final verses of this rich epistle from Paul to the church in Ephesus? I believe the way we should take it is, not only was he relaying to the church, now this is how you finish strong. Sometimes the final words or the last words are the most important. This is what is really on his heart. And this is something that we can take home as believers, to our heart and to our lives. So let's unpack it. First of all, cultivate faithful friends. Now, y'all, we have all kind of friends, don't we? We have daytime friends. We have school friends. We have neighborhood friends. We have church friends. We have fitness friends. We have club friends. We have all kinds of friends. And that's a good thing. We're not designed as humans to be lone rangers. We need to have fellowship and companionship and friendship. But this particular type of friend is special. This guy, Tychicus, was not like just any friend. Now, it takes time to develop a friendship like Tychicus and the Apostle Paul had. It's not something you can just randomly say, I want you to be this faithful friend. God ordains it. He kind of puts someone in your path, and it happens again. And then you start becoming a faithful kind of special friend. Tychicus, to give you a background, was a convert from Asia, which is modern Turkey today, who was with the Apostle Paul during his first imprisonment in Rome because he was speaking out for the Lord. It's where this particular epistle was written. He, Tychicus, accompanied Paul in taking an offering to the church in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 20. And was sent by him on several missions. 2 Timothy 4:12, Titus 3 and verse 12 give you examples of those times. He served with the Apostle Paul for some time, spread the good news of Jesus, and he encouraged the saints. Now let's look specifically at what the text says about being a faithful friend. There's two words that stand out if you're taking mental notes or notes in your outline. I would write beloved in all caps, and I would write faithful. He's a beloved friend. He's a faithful friend. Now let's look at what those words mean. You may have said, oh, he's my beloved, or welcome, beloved. You may have heard that word. It's mentioned in the Old Testament. It's used repeatedly through the New Testament. At the baptism of Jesus, God describes Jesus as his beloved son in whom he is well pleased. He uses the term again at the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. Many New Testament writers use the word to describe recipients of their letters that they write, the epistles, Philippians, 2 Corinthians, and 1 Peter, for example. Most of the time, the Greek word for beloved is agape, which is a love like God's, which is really unlike any other, an unconditional love, a special love, friends dearly loved by God. It is more than human affection. It suggests an esteem for others that comes from recognizing their worth as children of God. You look at that person and you say, I love this person because I can tell they love Jesus. I love this person because they love me unconditionally, evidently. I love this person because God keeps putting them in my path. I love this person because they've got my well-being in their best interest. They want to help me fulfill my purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a brother and sister in Christ. It's all of those adopted into God's family through faith in the finished work of Jesus. We are beloved by the Father, John chapter 1 and verse 1. If I had to summarize or paraphrase based on scriptures and my understanding of what this word, a beloved type of friend is, this is the way I would describe it. A Christian who adores Jesus. That's just the beginning. I'm not talking about just comes to church. I'm sure they do if they adore Jesus. The church is God's idea, not man's. But loves Jesus, walks with Jesus, talks with Jesus, represents Jesus. You get the picture? They're real. There's a relationship. It's not about being religious. Like the Pharisees, it's a person who has freedom in Christ. Let me go on. A Christian who adores Jesus has an obvious joy in his heart or her heart because of Jesus. You seen that person? It doesn't mean they don't have bad days, but it just means there's something in their heart that's different, and it's because they have the joy of the Lord. One of the reasons I love Christmas time and Christmas carols and songs is because we sing Joy to the World and all the other joyful songs. I think a person that is a faithful, beloved friend has a lot of joy. This person is not arrogant or prideful toward others and has no idea how special they are because their focus is on Jesus and not themselves. In essence, they have a type of anointing from God that they are totally unaware of. That's what beloved means. That's the kind of friend we should ask God to give us. And it's the kind of friend that we, by God's grace, should be to others. Let's look at that other word, faithful. This type of friend does the following. A faithful friend assumes the best about his friend. Now think about it. Tychicus was with Apostle Paul day, night, on missionary journeys and all kinds of experiences. You think he picked up on the fact that he was a sinner? I'm sure he did. The Apostle Paul said, I'm a chief of sinners. He saw the dark side. He saw his weaknesses. And yet, he assumed the best about his friend because he was representing him to other young believers. Makes it a habit of sincerely encouraging him. Why could the Apostle Paul keep going on? Because of his relationship with Jesus and because he had a faithful friend like Tychicus that at different times sincerely encouraged him. A faithful friend can be at ease with them when away from the crowd. You have those kind of friends? Not that you're fake around the crowds, but you're at ease with them. You could be your crazy self. You could be your sincere self. You can be your weepy self, emotional self. You're just yourself. That kind of faithful friend. The person can keep a confidence. Is happy about sharing how God is blessing you to others when given the opportunity with no hint of jealousy. That's the kind of friend you're looking for. Now, I don't have this in my notes, but let me speak to our teenagers and young adults that perhaps are still single right now. If I were you, and you're not already doing so as a believer, I'd start praying for these two characteristics for your mate if God wants you to marry. It may or may not be God's will, but if it is and you're not doing so, I would strongly encourage you to pray for this type of person. And so when they come along, you see it. Wow, they're beloved. They're faithful. We need to allow others into our lives and be intentional about being this type of friend to others. It takes time. It takes a close walk with the Lord, with Jesus, to know who these people are. We need them because Paul also had others that were not sincere and broke his heart due to betrayal. And if it can happen to Paul, it can happen to you. And it can happen to me. That's why this is so important. It's not, well, I wonder if this... No, it will. It will. Unfortunately, it will. In 2 Timothy 4:10, we find this. Paul said, Demas has deserted me. Now, this was a guy that was a good guy. At one point, he was supposed to be with the fellowship of believers and be a type of Tychicus to the Apostle Paul. And basically, Paul says, unfortunately, Demas broke my heart. He's abandoned me. He stabbed me in the back and he's gone the way of the world. And he's gone. But by God's grace, you know what Paul didn't do? He didn't stop right there. He didn't start living in a cave or in a shell to shelter himself from others because he had been hurt. And it can be a temptation. You've been hurt. You've been stabbed in the back. You've got a family member or a colleague or a close friend you went to school with that all of a sudden you realize, oh no. Or maybe even a family member. It can hurt. Our temptation will be to withdraw, but when this occurs, don't. Someone needs you, and you need someone. We're not meant to be lone rangers. We need community, and we need fellowship. And we learn from it. And we move on. And put it like this. Today, I may go home, and I may have a turkey sandwich. And you know what? I may find out that turkey is rotten. It's no good. It stinketh. And I put the turkey down, and I don't eat it. And I don't eat a part of that particular turkey. But I can guarantee you this. I am going to eat another turkey sandwich in the future. And I am going to eat another smoked turkey, fried turkey, roasted turkey in the future. If someone has been a turkey to you, don't let that cause you to be a turkey and miss out on faithful friends. God has them out there for us. And he wants us to be that kind of friend to other people. We need to be like Tychicus was to the Apostle Paul. But let's go to the second thing we see from these final verses. We need to cultivate faith-based fundamentals. Faith-based fundamentals. In other words, we need to stick with the basics of the Christian faith. These words that come out and come out in other epistles that Paul and others have written so often toward the end. Peace, for example. There's three or four words here. Peace. Jesus is our peace. And Paul wanted to reemphasize Ephesians 4:3 to preserve the unity of the Spirit diligently with the bond of peace. God gives us a peace. He gives us a peace that we're going to heaven, the security of the believer. He gives us a peace when we go through trials. He gives us a peace that passes all understanding, and he wants us to be one who develops peace with friendships, with family, with others, if at all possible. The word love. God is love, 1 John. Throughout the book of Ephesians, Paul reminds the church of God's love. Christ is the vine of love, and so love should naturally come out from us. John 15, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Paul used the word 15 times in 14 verses in this letter. Interesting enough, his warning to them didn't take root in future generations because 35 years later, we find they lacked love in Revelation 2:2-4 due to leaving their first love. That's interesting. So here's what it says to us. Just because we may be in the flow with the Lord right now as an individual or as a church, that does not guarantee it will be the same in 5 years or 10 years or 15 years or 35 years. Because the church had lost their first love. It can fade away. So that's why we have to keep these fundamentals of the faith at the forefront of our life. There's another word, grace. God's grace is truly amazing. Here's what it does. It brings us heavenly riches, redemption, forgiveness, new life, salvation, and spiritual gifts. That's what his grace does. So if we want to finish strong, we must keep these themes intact. Speaking of leftovers, We don't want to give God the leftovers of our daily lives. We want to make sure that His priorities are our priorities, so we too can finish strong. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this journey that we've had in the book of Ephesians. We thank You, God, for this challenge that we received to have and be faithful friends, to make sure these themes of the Bible, grace and peace and unity, love, are part of our daily lives. And God, we thank You that we don't have to live the Christian life wondering what to do every day, that we have instructions that we can look at through Your word. In Jesus' name, amen.